Hi everyone, welcome back to New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And my name's Jen. And on today's show, we're in part three of Shattering Loneliness. Do you realize that God is everywhere that you are? We'll be right back after this.
Hello, New Every Day viewers and New Every Day listeners. We are so glad that you've tuned in. And Jen, you posed a question in the introduction that God is everywhere that you are. So what do you mean by that?
That's exactly what I mean. Like God is everywhere that you are. And we've been talking about shattering loneliness for the last 2 weeks. And in the first week we set up, you know, this concept of loneliness and being alone and where it comes from and our desire to be known. And last week we talked about the first six verses of Psalm 139 and how God knows everything about us. There's absolutely nothing He does not know. And the image that comes to mind is where it says, "You search me and you know me," is of a mother ape or monkey, like with her baby, like literally searching every part and picking out the bad stuff, but searching, like she knows every nook and cranny of her wee one. Right? And that's how much God knows us. Like He knows every nook, cranny, thought, step, when we sit, when we rise, like He knows all of it. And so not only does He know all of who we are, so He meets that need for us to be known, He is, when I say like God is everywhere that you are, it's because it goes to His all-present nature. There is nowhere in all creation where He is not. Like we have this idea that God is heaven, God is in heaven and we are on earth, right? Which it does say that in Ecclesiastes. It says God is in heaven and we are on earth, so let our words be few, because we don't get the majesty and wonder of who God is. But that sets up, I want to say, the nature, the holiness of God. But also, there's so many passages in Scripture that says, "But I am with you." It says, Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand."
And Jesus said in Matthew, "And surely I am with you to the very end of the age."
Yes. So, like, throughout Scripture, God declares, "I am with you always."
Yeah.
When you go into battle, I am there. It says, "He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." It says that He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. There's this idea of even in the quiet times and in the war times, like,
He's there.
He is there present. He's not some God who's high and out there. He is a God that is very present and very near. It says, like, closer than a brother. And so we're going to look into this next passage from Psalm 139 to examine what we actually mean about God is all present, or the Greek word would be omnipresent.
Yep.
That's not Greek.
No, but it sounds
the
cool.
Omni part. The omni part is Greek. It means all. Anyways, here we go. We'll skip to Greek.
Okay.
"Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." And so, as we read that passage, it touches on the fact that God is not only here, where we are now, but it doesn't matter where we go.
Yeah,
He will be there.
You know what's interesting, Jen, is as we were reading that, "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence?" And this version says, "I can never escape your spirit. I can never get away from your presence." And there's a little commentary in this Bible that says, "The Lord's omniscience, or all-knowing, and omnipotence, all being all-powerful, and omnipresence, being everywhere, provide comfort to the godly, because they know their relationship with the Lord and that Jesus has made us right with God and we've experienced forgiveness. So he is a loving Father to us who welcomes us in. But it says, knowing that God is everywhere at once and knows everything imprisons the hearts of the wicked. Where can I go? He's just everywhere. And so originally when I was studying this chapter several years ago, I was driving down the highway and I was speeding and driving not in a way that I should. And this verse cut into my mind.
Really?
Yes. Because I was looking around just to make sure, you know, there's no police radar guns so that I could make it to where I needed to be on time.
Yes, I've done the same thing.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Pastor.
Yikes.
And the verse came to my mind because it was like, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And it was like, the police, the law is everywhere, and it brought fear to my heart. Instead of me celebrating and doing the right thing and knowing that those things are there to keep me safe and keep other people safe and bring life and not death. But that verse came to mind because of the omnipresence of the law, the police, brought fear instead of love because I was doing what was wrong.
Isn't that interesting? Because as I've read through this passage so many times, because he's asking this question, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And it says, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. And if I make my bed in the depths, you are there. But this next part, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, and when I go walking in the morning and I was practicing this verse, and I often like look to the rising sun in the east and go, and if I rise on the wings of the dawn, and all I could think about as I was doing some research was it talked about the speed of light.
Oh.
And as fast as the speed of light goes, if we were to travel at that speed, even there God would be.
You can't escape him.
You cannot escape him. It doesn't matter how fast you are going. Like if you were to travel at the speed of light, it says, if I was to rise on the wings of the dawn and settle on the far side of the sea, even there.
You can't escape him.
Yeah. Your hand would guide me. Your right hand, that's your hand of favor, would hold me fast. Which is like, he's not going to let us go.
Right.
Like as much as we might desire to get away, because the question is, after we read, like, wow, he knows us and he searches us and he has his discernment of knowing what we're doing, the good, bad, and ugly, is there. So we might say, is there anywhere that I could get away from us? Because like you said, the ungodly are like, oh.
Well, that's why I'm wondering, like, okay, well, what prompts David to ask these kinds of questions?
Yes.
Why would you want to flee from the Spirit of God unless you weren't in right relationship with him or had done something wrong?
Now, my commentary here says that he's asking rhetorical questions, like he's just putting it out there. But there is a measure of great peace knowing that wherever we go, God is. And it's like when the prodigal son in Luke 15 leaves his father, God was still fully aware. Like, yes, it's a parable, but even there in the story, the Spirit speaks him and actually, like, I believe would say to him, like, if you were to go home, like, he plants those seeds.
Yes.
Like, the Spirit is aware because it's where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And we've talked about the physical nature of the fact that no matter where we go, God is with us. But the spiritual nature, the emotional nature of it is still the same because it says, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me, that's not like I need night light at night. Sometimes we think the darkness of our sin hides us from God. Well, I've done so many things wrong. I've gotten myself into such a pickle. I've made so many bad mistakes. I'm in so many bad relationships. There's no way out. So we think, well, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. And David is saying, even the darkness will not be dark to you. It's like God has on those like night glasses and he sees through the darkness as well as he would see during the day. Because it says the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you.
And how can the darkness seem as light unless he is the source of light to expel the darkness? And Jesus is called the light of the world. I just like that picture.
So let's think about that picture. Jesus is the light of the world, and those who follow them will never walk in darkness. John 8:12. So let's think about that as we go to break. We'll be right back.
Jeff Weston.
Yama. Yeah,
you're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost, for just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
there.
If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Hi, and welcome back to New Every Day. We are so thankful that you're hanging out with us this morning, or afternoon, or it could be in the middle of the night, because we're in
the internet
world. We often talk about that, the fact that this is going off into internet world, and we're really never sure of who is listening or when they are listening. So welcome back. No matter what time of day you've tuned in, we are glad to share this time with
yes,
you.
Yes, we are.
And we also want to say a special thanks to our partners, who, if you go online to our website, which is
neweveryday.tv,
you can see so many people, so many companies that have partnered with us to help make not only New Every Day possible, but all the shows on Category 5 Network possible as well. So we encourage you to go shopping. If you need to, maybe you need to window shop, just go on our page, check out the partners and see if there's anything there that could meet any of your shopping needs, and we would be most grateful. So yes, we ended off before we went to break with John 8:12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Mm. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And the light of life is basically will have salvation. They will be saved from their sin, mm-hmm. but also sanctification. They will be given all that they need to become more like Jesus. Mm. And I love that aspect that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so when it says, for darkness is as light to you, like, there's nothing scary about the dark to Jesus. Hmm. It doesn't matter how dark our thoughts are. It doesn't matter how dark our heart is. It doesn't matter, you know, so many times I have walked in dark places and have just started reciting scripture.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, I came home, friends of ours live around the corner, and so I hung out with them on Sunday evening. So I left in the daylight, no problem. But when I was coming back, it was dark. And she actually turned to me and said, are you okay in walking? I'm like, I'll walk fast. But on the way home, I'm like, I'm reciting scripture. And I very well might have been like, oh, mm-hmm. Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. And
the word of God is a lamp.
Yes, the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so when we talk about God being an all-present God, he is all present physically. He's all present spiritually. He's all present emotionally. Hmm. And he's all present relationally. And I love that image of God's presence. Hmm. That, because you might be struggling in your marriage right now and feeling, I am so alone.
Yes.
And even though you share a bed with someone every night, it feels like they're so distant from you. And yet God is there. He's present in your marriage. And so you can claim some of these things saying, like, Lord, it feels like my marriage is dark right now. But you said the night will shine like the day. Like, claim that verse for your marriage. Claim the presence of God in your marriage. And be praying that verse into, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know my heart towards my husband or my wife. Would you help me to love them well? So that we will have the marriage that you have designed for us. And I just love the fact that God is present in all of our interactions. Like he, and the thing is, he waits. He, that goes back to James 4:8, where it says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Like he waits for us to invite him into the situation. So often in the morning, and I've said this so many times, dear Lord Jesus, bring to me the people you want me to deal with today. Keep away all distractions and protect me from the evil one. So I invite him into my day. And it's so cool the number of times God interjects himself, or I become aware and of how present God is.
And I find two parts to this. I find it really interesting that God puts it on your heart to pray about something like that. And secondly, that you recognize it when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you feel like it's like Holy Spirit just kind of goes, hey, remember you prayed this, this is the answer? Or like, how do you discern that's what it is?
Usually, well, because I pray, bring to me the people, when stuff happens, I'm sort of, okay, Lord, like I prayed this morning that you would bring people to me. So I have to believe that you're going to, you know, help me organize my day so that I can get done the things that need to get done, and the things that don't need to get done, I don't need to worry about them because you have presented this person to me. And so I just take peace in knowing that because I've prayed that prayer and God is present, then my job then is to listen to the Holy Spirit and say, okay, what do you want to do in this situation?
Yeah.
And so what could seem like a real dark downer, like, do they not know how much stuff I have to get done?
Right, but God knows your words before it happens. He writes your day before it happens.
Yes.
So he's carved out the time.
So he has carved out the time. So we don't need to be concerned about the darkness that happens. We don't need to be concerned that we think that there's no way out, because God is all present. Like, he's with us. And we talked, you know, in Isaiah 40, it says, do you not know, have you not heard that our God is an everlasting God? And it just, it speaks so much truth. Let me just, Isaiah 40, because most people know the end. Like, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.
I feel like it's 28:31.
So, but it says, comfort my people, comfort, says the Lord your God. And it goes on to say, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither. And the whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. I love it. Goes on in 28, do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired and weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. I love it.
He is all-knowing.
He is all-knowing. He is all-present. If he can march out the starry sky, the stars in the sky, and he knows them by name, and not one of them is missing, then how much more is he aware of our needs?
Yeah, and I think there's a verse in Genesis that says, and at this time people began to call out to the Lord.
Yeah.
And so there was an identification that those who knew God knew that he was there and available for us to call out to him. And one of the things I so love about God and the fact that Jesus made a way for us to come is that I don't have to wait to go and confess to somebody.
Yes.
Or I don't have to like wait to get home and like call and get advice from somebody necessarily. I can stop and I can call out to the Lord, or I can call out to the Lord in my thoughts. And people from all over the world can be doing this at the same time. So like those who have just experienced the flood or
the hurricane
that just passed through, Hurricane Irma, they are calling out to the Lord. We can call out to the Lord in our time of need because he's there.
Because he is there. And that was Genesis 4. 4:26b, and at that time men began to call on the name of the Lord. And so we encourage you to call on the name of the Lord today, to hold on to that passage. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee from your spirit? And realize, surrender those areas to the Lord today. Those areas that feel dark or scary. Mm-hmm.
And acknowledge that He's the light.
Yes, acknowledge that He is the light that you need. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you sent your Son Jesus to be the light of the world. And Lord, the darkness wants nothing to do with it. And so there might be some people that are sitting there watching us, listening to us right now, where the darkness is rising up and saying, oh no, you don't want to do that. Well, we come against that in the name of Jesus right now. And Lord God, we call forth your grace and your mercy, your truth and your love to minister to these people, to give them the courage that they need to surrender that darkness to you so you can shine your light on it. And so they will receive everything that they need to feel your presence, your love, and to shatter the loneliness that they've been experiencing, because darkness creates loneliness. So Father, we come against that in the name of Jesus for our viewers today. And Lord, thank you that when we surrender all things to you, then you meet with us. We thank you for James 4:8. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we're going to continue this conversation, mm-hmm. Jen, because there's so much more of Psalm 139 that we want to explore together. So come on back here, same time, same place. Thanks for tuning in.
See you later.